going on, everyone? Welcome to the third episode of the Three in the Key podcast. We do have an official name now. It is amazing times ahead of us. In the driver's seat for this episode, it's MD Miles, back from his world tour. Miles, welcome back, dude.
Yo, what's up? Mr. Worldwide here, ready to talk Lakers. What's going on?
Yeah, and in the passenger seat is myself, Rai Chai. That's what the friends call me. Feel free to do the same. So this is the end of the first official week of Lakers regular season ball, and it's gone pretty good so far. So we're going to go into it, talk about...
Ryan, do you even like chai lattes?
You know,
Chai?
I don't. I'm more of a hot chocolate guy myself. I've dabbled a little bit into, double chocolate chip frappuccinos. I like to say my taste buds are 7 years old, and they're still maturing at a very slow rate.
But we've talked about this. So happy that you're actually eating sushi.
Yes.
As an Asian man myself, or I mean our first episode, the sushi, or second episode, I forgot we talked about sushi.
Yes.
It warms my heart. Like, I feel like we're getting closer because you can eat my people's food.
I do it for you.
great.
Yeah, I'm making progress. I'm getting cultured, you know? This light skin of mine is getting cultured. I was going to say darker, but I don't know if that's politically correct. I don't know, but sure. Anyways, in this episode, we're going to kind of break down the first week of the Lakers season, talk potential starting lineups, talk about the games that did happen, and highlight the play of the one and only Dwight Howard, as his game recently deserves some analysis because he's been playing really, really well. So we'll break that down and get going in episode 3 of the Three in the Key podcast. Let's go. So before we get into Lakers, let's talk about a little bit more about your trip, Mr. Worldwide, over here in the driver's seat. I'm pretty sure you've been traveling internationally. Tell the folks at home where you traveled to.
Yeah, so my wife and I, she was a maid of honor in a wedding in Cartagena, Colombia. So we were blessed to go down to Colombia, have some fun, speak a little Spanish, do a little salsa, and get down tonight. It was a lot of fun. But before then, we stopped in Orlando, got to visit an old childhood friend of mine. Shout out to Mike Z, Fat Boy. What's up, bro? He works for Disney World, so we were able to go to Disney World for a couple days, hang out with him on his birthday, go down to Miami, fly out of Miami, go to Cartagena. Love the city, love the people. It's a great city. I definitely recommend anyone looking to travel to South America, stop by. It's great, wonderful food. The people are so friendly. They do try and sell you everything. And by everything, I mean everything. So just be kind of wary, but overall, great experience. So inexpensive. And if you speak Spanish, you're going to have so much fun there. After that, on our way back, instead of flying back to LA from Cartagena, it's actually cheaper for us to do a little layover. So we stopped in Nashville and I picked up a Southern Draw while we're there. I kept saying y'all, my wife kept making fun of me. But I mean, when in Rome, do what the Romans do, right? So it was a lot of fun. Got to eat amazing food. Southern food is probably my new favorite food. You sleep after you eat it, but it is so good. I had fried catfish, and it was my favorite meal out there.
Really?
Fried catfish. Like, what?
I would have never thought that that's a go-to meal.
Fried catfish, mashed potatoes, and some collard greens with the Louisiana pepper and vinegar sauce. So it's a little spicy, a little sour. Right. I'm like, wow, I can eat that all day. So good. So good.
So did you come back with any kind of Hispanic accent, Hispanic language knowledge? I don't know how to say it.
So when you're there, I definitely like Spanish 1, 2, and 3 from high school definitely came out. I definitely could count again up to 100. After 100, I was in trouble.
Wait, why were you counting up to 100?
Just because. So in Cartagena, they like count they go by thousands. But luckily, instead of saying like 10,000, you'll just say diez, and you'll know that's 10.
Okay.
But wow. Like just doing, we did a lot of bargaining out there. And so things are like, it's a dollar to 3,000 pesos. So sometimes we'd go to dinner and it'd be like $80 or 80,000 pesos for a big group of us. So then it's like, or we'd buy things and trying to bargain. They always like started way higher than it normally would be.
Did you have success haggling down prices? Because I've seen that in movies where like you can haggle it down and stuff, but I don't know if you have to actually be a local to be successful at that. Because I feel like me being super white, I would just get taken advantage of and I would never be able to haggle successfully.
I think we semi-did. There are some times where it was just we're trying to get out of there, or it's like a sketchy area, or we're just so hungry and so desperate for food. We're like, okay, we at least got it down like 10,000, so we'll pay the whatever, when we could have haggled more. Wife and I have done trips to like Asia, and so we've definitely haggled before and haggled a ton, to the point where it's like we kind of got like in trouble in Asia, but it was great. It was a lot of fun. I have never been called Manny Pacquiao more times in my face than in Cartagena. They're like, oh, Manny Pacquiao, Manny Pacquiao. I got called Manny Pacquiao. They kept calling me Tokyo, Korea,
wow.
Japan, Chinese, Shanghai. Like, it was just whatever they could try and get. And I've never been rapped to and sung to that many times in my life. But it was amazing.
How'd you feel about it? Like, when people were calling you Manny Pacquiao in Tokyo, did you take any offense to it, or were you loving it?
No, I loved it. Like, the first time I started, like, airboxing and stuff like that.
You're like, but yes, I am Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah. But then I learned not to do that, because then they follow you and then expect money because they like,
no.
He's like, hey, Manny Pacquiao. And then I like airbox like a little bit, you know, trying to play tough. Then idiot me, like they started following me and rapping because I just airboxed for like 2 seconds and then they wouldn't stop. So I was like, okay, here's 500 pesos. Like,
wait, what, you gave them money?
Yeah, dude. Because they literally followed me for like 5 blocks.
Was it like
rapping and like following me? And I was just like,
but was it like scary
points.
Following you? Like, these people are stalking me now? Or was it like, oh, they legit just think I'm Manny Pacquiao and they're being friendly?
It was both, a little both.
So like, you got a little scared
money.
After a
yeah,
while?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, a little too much. I knew at the end of the day they wouldn't do anything, but then you feel like a guilt because that's like, those people aren't as fortunate as we are here in America. And I think that's one of the biggest takeaways I definitely took.
Mm.
Going to Cartagena and not having warm water to shower with.
Wow.
Literally some places not having AC, not having clean water to drink, not having mosquitoes when I wake up, having a nice soft bed, having sheets. It was a great reminder of how thankful and blessed we are here in Los Angeles, in the States, and
for sure,
you know, America, to have a great year.
For sure. It puts it in perspective.
Yeah.
Awesome, dude. Well, glad that you had a great time. Glad you're back. We're going to have to get you working on getting your cardio back, working off that fried catfish.
Oh, dude, yes. I legit gained 10 pounds. Like, T and I weighed ourselves the first day when we got back, or last night, and we both were like, ooh. I will not disclose my wife's weight. I'm smarter than that. She actually lost weight. I'm going to say that.
Wow.
I gained 10 pounds.
Really?
10 pounds. Yeah.
Was that, did you feel like that was accurate, or were you surprised that it was that much?
No, it was definitely accurate. Yeah. I ate so much. Dude, biscuits are so good. Burgers were so good. Fried food was so good. And Cartagena, I had so much like coconut rice, ceviche. Oh man, it was so good. And then Orlando is literally just a haven of franchises. So
yeah.
It's like everything there is franchise. I don't think there's like one unique real Orlando based restaurant. So we ate so much like fast food and so much franchise food. And then in Miami we had Indian food at this like Michelin star chef's restaurant, and it was amazing. Like, I loved, my favorite dish was cauliflower, and I don't really like cauliflower that much.
Random.
Yeah. And it was so good, and we ate so much. It was amazing.
Awesome, dude. Well, glad you're back. Yeah, sounds like a great time, man. Next time, you know, gotta invite me or something.
Yeah, definitely. You and Wendy should definitely come through. That'd be fun.
Down. So down. All right, I guess we should probably talk ball. So we'll end this segment here and start talking some Lakers.
So, back to talking Lakers.
Yes. I thought you were carrying it.
I can totally carry it. Oh, just like I carried all our luggage on that trip, dude.
Our luggage? Oh, you mean yours and T's luggage? Yeah, all right.
Dude, it's 50 pounds, 49.5.
Incredible packing skills. Incredible.
I didn't think we were going to make it. We had to throw some clothes away. Straight up, we threw some stuff away. Well, we planned on throwing stuff away because we brought two suitcases.
Yeah.
And through one, we left one in Cartagena because we had to bring candles for the wedding. So one suitcase was just mostly candles, and we stuffed it with extra clothes so the candles wouldn't move.
So random.
Job of maid of honor, dude. She did a great job, though. She did a great job. But back to talking Lakers.
Yeah.
First key.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to try and do three keys in each episode, by the way. So pretty much three main topics that we'll discuss. So the first key for this particular episode is recapping the first week of Lakers ball, since they had three games. We're recording this at the end of the week. They had their first game on Tuesday against the Clippers, a game on Friday against the Jazz, and then a game on Sunday against the Hornets. So let's start with the first game on Tuesday, which was the big one, the big opener against the Clippers. Didn't exactly go how we wanted it to in terms of the final score. I thought the Lakers played a pretty good game. All things considered, considering it was the first game, they're a little rusty. The offense wasn't flowing very smoothly. The final score was 112-102, so we got beat by 10 points. It wasn't terrible, wasn't a blowout, which was encouraging to me at least, because my concern was we would just get wrecked. And if we got wrecked, then that would tell me that we're in a lot of trouble, because they're playing without PG, you know?
Yeah.
And so if without PG, they can muster up a game where they just destroy us, then
we might be in big trouble.
We might be in big trouble, but it was respectable, but there still were some points of concern. But before I give my two cents on it, I'm curious what your thoughts were on the game.
So I'm going to give this game Ryan and I literally just played some pickup games before doing this. It was great.
We're very sweaty as we're recording this.
In this hot, steamy car.
Literally. Literally. It sounds so terrible, but it's the truth.
But we're married, all right? We can do whatever we want. We're married.
And we're not married to each other. Let's make that clear. We both have lovely wives.
Beautiful wives.
At home.
Yeah, that take great care of us.
Yes, and they allow us to do crazy things like this and let us
stay in hot, steamy cars together.
Yeah. God bless their souls.
But
I love you, Wendy.
I love you, T. As you're making us dinner.
Wow, incredible.
Incredible woman.
Incredible.
But I take this up as our first game in playing pickup, right? We haven't played in a while. It's been since our wedding, since we got to play a little pickup.
Jeez, yeah,
and even my wedding, it was like a half court, not even a full half court game. Yeah. We're just shooting around mostly.
Sure.
It's like the first game we got to pick back up. So
yeah.
The rust is going to be there.
For sure.
The passes were off. Some of my passes were behind. Mm-hmm. Your passes were behind. Open shots that we're used to making weren't going down.
Yeah.
Even our layups were just wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe I missed this layup. So I'm going to, that game, I'm going to attest that game to that. Figuring each other out, figuring out how they're going to run the offense. My big concern was they ran a little bit too much ISO for me. And I feel like that and that's why I'm saying they fell into rust.
Mm.
What happens when you're oh crap, our offense isn't working we planned it to.
Yeah.
Game plan isn't flowing. What are you going to do? ISO to your best players.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to work against the Clippers.
No.
One of the better defensive teams in the league, with Kawhi, with Harrell, with all these players that are, the Clippers have the best team for switching, the most versatile defensive team.
For sure.
They can switch almost every position and pick mm-hmm. up, and you definitely saw that.
Yeah, there are so many times when the Lakers just threw it down in the post to AD,
mm-hmm.
which, granted, isn't
isn't a bad option.
No, it's not a
it's
bad
not
option.
A bad option at all.
Last year at this time, I would kill to have seen
LeBron
throw it in the post to AD and just mm-hmm. watch AD go to work. But when you're playing a high caliber team like the Clippers and you have championship aspirations like the Lakers do this year, it can't just be hero ball all the time. There has to be ball movement, especially with a team like the Clippers, who have a great defensive presence and they can switch on everything. AD is a mismatch for anyone, but just throwing it in there and just hoping for the best every single time, which it felt like they were doing that at times, it's just not, it's not going to produce wins on a consistent basis against high tier talent, like in the playoffs. Like maybe in the regular season, we can get away with it on some nights, but yeah, against the Clippers, it just wasn't a good look. So I totally agree with you. I'd like to see more of ball movement, more design plays, and that's really going to be on Frank Vogel to tighten up. And I do think that they change that in later games, but for this game in particular, it was unfortunate to see him just throwing it in there all the time.
It was rusty.
It was. Did anyone stand out to you on the Lakers who performed well?
Two players.
Let's hear him.
Danny Green.
Heck yes.
You and I. Oh, so Ryan and I, after the first game, I think I was, where was I? I was in Orlando.
Yes.
And I straight up called you right
after.
You
called me right away. I was surprised to see your call because I was like, yo, it's probably like, what, like 1 o'clock
dude,
in the morning?
Dude, it was one.
When you called me?
Uh-huh.
I answered the phone. I was like, oh no, this guy just got taken hostage by pirates. Nope, this guy just wanted to talk Lakers. This is the level of commitment.
Three in the key forever, bro.
Three in the key forever. Hashtag commitment.
Yeah, and that was one of the big, like, I know we were both disappointed. We were so sad in the game. We both, like, let off steam about losing to the Clippers.
Yeah.
But, like I said, like what we talked about, Danny Green, money.
Dude,
the energy he came out with, we see why he was so vital to that Raptors team.
Yes.
And what a big role he played, how versatile he was defensively. He's kind of not as great as he was when he was on the Spurs defensively.
Yeah.
Much a little older.
Yeah.
But he still will make you take a difficult shot, be in your face, not get beat.
Yeah.
And will still hit threes. He had like 28 points that game, 25 points?
28 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Solid. And that is what we need to see out of our role players. Like when LeBron and AD aren't having a good game, or when someone else isn't having a good game, to know that someone else can step up and step in and at least help carry the load. That's what you and I were talking about. That was the biggest thing that we were missing last year.
Yes.
When LeBron couldn't do anything, who was going to step up? Not Josh Hart, not Lonzo, not B.I.
No, not consistently at least.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And Danny Green, yeah, to your point, he went 10 of 14 from the field. He shot 7 of 9 from three. Shot 78%.
Wow.
He single-handedly kept the Lakers from being blown out.
I don't think one Laker player has hit 7 threes in a game. When was the last time a Laker player you know hit 7 threes?
Oh,
7 threes in a game.
I can't think of it.
Yeah.
I can't think of it.
I don't think
it's probably been a while.
It's so, like, wow, that's sad.
Yeah.
That's sad, you know?
But that was missing last year, to your point. Like, like you said, when LeBron was struggling, which he struggled mightily in game one, his offense was not there. And I almost feel like he took the mentality of trying to be the good superstar and just try and get everyone involved from the get-go, give it to AD, get him going, which worked in the first half. AD was on fire. He had a great, great first half. But LeBron tried to get other people involved, and I feel like that rust that he needed to shake off early just stayed with him, and he wasn't able to get into a flow. And it hurt the team down the line, because once AD went cold, in the second half, LeBron was still cold, and Danny Green was barely keeping us in the game, thank goodness. But we still lose by 10, but in all honesty, we probably should have been... Like, the final score reflects that we played better than we actually did because of Danny Green.
I definitely agree with that statement. We should have easily lost by 20 that game.
Yeah, the score should have been something like 112 to like 90.
Yeah.
You know, and that would have looked way worse, but it looks respectable, 112, 102. The box score just looks better. So thank you, Danny Green.
Yes. Second player that I felt was surprisingly well, Jared Dudley.
Yes.
For his minutes, he's playing effective basketball.
Dad bod Dudley. Yes. Yeah.
But he's that enforcer out there, that leader, that veteran presence that you definitely feel, who's been helping out. I believe he had a three in this game.
He had multiple.
Yeah, he had a few threes, just being solid. That defensive presence, smart plays. Like, when I saw him playing, he did everything right. Kept his man in front of him, helped when it was necessary, mm-hmm. didn't overhelp.
Right.
And was perfect on the offense, spaced the floor when he needed to, knew his role, knew what he was going to do, and where he was supposed to be at all times. And just seeing that veteran presence, at high IQ, that good, like, teammate camaraderie, was great. I thought, because he was my biggest worry, I was like, Dudley's playing?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I get it. We need to fill in minutes for Kuzma and Rondo while they're out, but I was like, oh, I'm nervous, but he did good. He did.
He had 6 points. He hit 2 threes in the game, which both of the first three that he took, I was like, oh gosh, like, why? Why is he in?
Yeah.
He made it, and he did, like, the celebratory, like three fingers, like, on the ground and, like, running back, crouching mm-hmm. down low, like, I love that energy from him, though. He's just like a fun-loving guy, and he keeps everyone loose. I've heard, like, players love him on teams. Like, they speak, like, really highly of him, like, his locker room presence. So, hey, I was loving it. So, yeah, he hit a couple of threes, which was really cool.
He's like that old guy today that hit threes that you were not expecting to hit threes.
Oh, gosh, I know. There's always one of those guys. Like, when you're playing pickup ball, you know, you're like, mm-hmm. oh, like, leave this guy open. Then he's just freaking money. You're like, oh, no. I can't actually guard him.
And then his confidence builds. Yeah. And you're like, it's too late. Ah.
I intentionally chose guarding this guy because I didn't think he could play.
I thought it'd be easy.
But no, now I actually got to play up. Yeah, Dudley's that guy.
Yeah.
So, shouts to Jared Dudley.
What about you? Who were your two or players that stuck out to you this first game? I think we're in agreement with Danny Green.
Danny Green, of course. Yeah, that's a given. Man, another one that stood out to me. Okay, this one stood out to me, but for the wrong reasons. KCP.
Oh my goodness. I think he was the biggest player that I was griping to you about when I called.
Yes, yes. This is a point that I mentioned to you on the phone call when you called.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many times when KCP, I think he was guarding Kawhi.
That was my favorite point you made. Why is KCP guarding Kawhi?
Why is that right in any circumstance? I don't get it. Like, I was making a point to a coworker after that game. I was like, I would have rather had Avery Bradley guarding Kawhi.
Yeah.
But, and he made the counterpoint, like, Avery Bradley is so much shorter. He's, like, barely 6 foot, 6'1". But I was like, I don't know, just the aesthetics of it. Like, KCP, like, he's not known for being a defender. Like, no. Avery Bradley will, like, scrap, like, force the guy into help at least.
Right.
I mean, Kawhi can still rise up and shoot over him, sure. But, like, I don't know, it just bothered me seeing KCP on the floor. So that was the reason why he stood out to me for a wrong reason. And then the other reason is the guy had 0 points in 27 minutes. I mean, he had 3 rebounds, 3 assists, but he was 0 for 3 from the field. And I just felt like he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I mean, basketball's more than just the stats. But just if you're just watching the game, it just felt like we should have had someone else out there. Like, anyone else besides KCP in that moment. So, I don't know. It might just be the clutch. The clutch factor. Like, he has an unspoken minimum minutes he must play. Or LeBron and Rich Paul will be
Bron,
angry.
I know you're listening to our podcast because you love our podcast, Bron. So, please let KCP play less. Please.
Please.
I mean, great guy. I'm sure he's nice, solid, but it's just he has not been helping. I mean, we talk. That's KCP guarded Kawhi. Kawhi immediately hit like 8 straight shots. That's when he started taking over the game in the second quarter.
Yeah.
Right before the half, Kawhi just went off and started feeling himself. And the second half, he just went off because he knew he could take KCP. He knew he could take him down low. Solid little half, like the Mamba shots.
Right.
You know, from going to the Mamba Academy. Shout out Mamba Academy. Sponsor us.
Yes, please. I need merch.
Free merch, please. But like those mid-rangers that are going... Mid-rangers? Power Rangers? Sorry. Mid-range shots that are still... I mean, I know they're anti-analytics, but those mid-range shots get players going. Solid shots.
The Clippers were hitting those so much.
Because
the Lakers were actually playing decent interior defense for a good amount of the game. But the Clippers were just running these screens after screens after screens. And Lou Williams, Kawhi, they were all just hitting.
Or just ISO Kawhi on KCP. Money every time.
I would run that same. If I was Doc or Kawhi, like, I would be. My eyes were getting so big, be getting so excited every time.
Well, then
I saw
it got worse when they put Kawhi and Lou out there together. I'm just like, oh my goodness. Lou fading left but shooting with his right. What? It still goes in.
The Nacho Man.
Oh man.
Do you remember that picture after Lou Williams lit up? I think it was the Warriors. It was like the biggest comeback in NBA playoff history.
Yeah.
It's like a picture of him eating nachos in the locker room.
After,
What a guy. What a guy.
Man.
Yeah. All right, that's really all I have on that game. Round one of the Lakers-Clippers saga. I think the next one is Christmas Day, if I'm not mistaken. So,
oh, I'm excited.
I know. I think the Lakers will be a much different team come that second game. They're going to get help.
Yeah, we'll have Kuz back, and then Clippers will be much different too. So
that's true.
It'll be nice to see them at their full strength, kind of see. Hopefully, Lakers definitely have more offensive sets, better place to run. They figured out their point guard situation. I definitely feel like when LeBron is off the floor, they're confused point guard wise. Yeah. Who's running the point? I mean, we can talk about this later. I mean, we're going to talk about this later as we talk about more of the games. But, like, you definitely see in this last game that we watched, I definitely loved Caruso on the floor helping run the point. Because Quinn Cook, he can ball handle, but he's a shooting guard. Through and through, he's definitely, you get him for a shot, you don't get him for running the ball and for all of that, you get him to score points. So it was nice to actually have another ball handler in there because Rondo's out,
right? Good point.
Moving on to second game, Utah. This was like one that was worried for me because Utah was so great defensively last year, but they've been sorry this year. Utah's not been great, but it was nice to get that first dub. It definitely made me less anxious after getting spanked by the Clippers.
And the Lakers offense wasn't phenomenal in this game. Like, they didn't crack 100, but I think the biggest takeaway from this game was their defense.
Agreed.
They looked phenomenal on defense, and it looks like it was the type, because they held the final score was 95-86. And this was the type of game where it looked like this could very well become the team's identity going forward. Like, yes, they have two superstars who can dominate offensively, but I think where the Lakers are going to separate themselves from the rest of the teams in the league is defense. And just their size with Dwight, JaVale,
The length.
AD, like,
I agree.
It's a problem. And, like, the Jazz aren't, like, a scrub offensive team either. Like, they can score. But the Lakers locked him down, so I don't know. Yeah, what were your thoughts on the game?
I definitely agree with that. Seeing that, like, Frank Vogel-esque team really permeated through this game and really showed for the first time of how scrappy and willing the Lakers are to dive down, get low. You know, I know we talked about this when the first opening night game when LeBron dived on the floor for that loose ball. Like, that has set the tone for the Lakers. And I think seeing them, like, understanding that defense win championships, and that, like, how did the Raptors beat the Warriors? Great defense. I mean, injuries, of course, but still great defense, holding Steph down. I mean, we're seeing right now with the Warriors too, all these people are knowing, okay, everything runs through Steph, keeping Steph down, and the Warriors haven't been doing great at all this year so far. Two games in. Don't overreact.
It's early.
But still, it's definitely been great seeing that mentality through and through every player, 1 through 15, through LeBron, through Antetokounmpo, you know? Willing to play that defense.
Kostas, And this was LeBron's bounce back game, too.
Yeah.
Like we mentioned earlier, he struggled in the first game. And it was interesting to see, you know, how he's going to bounce back in this game. And he came back and had a really, really good game. He shot 12 of 22, had 32 points, 7 rebounds, 10 assists. You know, those extra stats are always going to be there for him, the rebounds and assists. But, like, the offense is, you know, it's a key part of the game, too. I know he wants to take a step back and not be as relied upon offensively. But it's good to see that he could, still pick it up when he needs to, because come the playoffs, he's going to have to be able to flip the switch, and he still got it. You know, there are people doubting, like, oh, like, he's getting older. Is he going to be able to still, you know, carry the load when he's called upon? And this game showed that, you know, he's not slowing down yet. 32 points, 7 rebounds, 10 assists. He shot 55% from the floor, 7 of 8 from the free throw line, had a 3. So it was a phenomenal all-around game from him. So I was super stoked to see him bounce back for sure. And AD had himself a good game too. I mean, he had 21 points, but LeBron was the main player that stood out for me.
Yeah, he righted the ship.
Yeah.
He righted the ship for sure this game. It was great.
And then KCP, his bounce back game.
Oh my goodness.
He bounced back, bro. Okay, you know, he had 0 points game one. This guy.
2 points?
No. Not two. One.
Whoa, snap. Through two games, averaging half a point. At how many minutes?
You gotta love it.
How many minutes was he playing?
20 minutes.
20 minutes. And he played like 27 the last game?
Something like that. In the 20s.
Finally, thank you, Frank Vogel, for limiting him a little bit. Look what happens when you limit KCP. We win. We don't stick him on the best player to guard. Please don't let him guard Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, gosh. Please. Did you see I think it was like House of Highlights or something posted it on Instagram when KCP hit the free throw, which is how he got his only point.
Yeah,
the crowd
went
crazy.
Oh my goodness.
It was like the fourth quarter or something like
that. And they were all ecstatic because he finally scored points. This guy that's going to be playing 20 minutes a game for us, 20 plus minutes. Not a good look. Not a good look. Please, Kuzma, come back soon.
Yes. He's a piece that... he's easy to forget that he is not in the equation, because like the AD hype is so big right now, and the team's looking so different that you kind of forget, like, oh yeah, Kuz is still working his way back,
right?
And you know, I can't wait for that guy to be back, because it's gonna help players like KCP not to get as many minutes that they're getting right now,
right?
That
should be open the floor for him too, because when like everyone knows that KCP, when LeBron's out or when it's LeBron and AD, I know there are a few times when LeBron and AD were both resting. Like, who are they going to go through? KCP's the next best option, you know?
That's true.
So they'll have Kuzma. And I think one of the biggest things, and I never thought I'd say this, we're missing Rondo big time.
Yeah, you're right.
There is no point guard past LeBron right now.
Mm-mm.
There is no one moving the ball, running the offense, telling him what to do. When it's just AD out there, it's literally ISO ball AD,
mm-hmm.
and then try and pass it out to someone, to a Danny Green or to someone that's going to hit shots. But there's no, like, AD has to work for everything. The Clippers knew.
Right.
And even now, like, everyone knows they just freaking double him, and then he's like in big trouble, or they keep him out of the post, make him get it high post instead of low post. And it's just like, please, when Rondo and Kuzma come back, different team.
Yeah,
for sure.
Definitely. So we got players coming back. Anything else from this game you want to throw out there?
Let's go ahead and jump to the next one.
Sweet.
This most recent game that we just watched.
Literally, it just wrapped up not too long ago. The Lakers on Sunday night defeated the Hornets 120-110.
Woo-woo.
Yeah, solid game. It was a close game throughout like the first three quarters.
Right.
And then the Lakers just put the clamps on the Hornets defensively in the fourth quarter and just started to pull away like crazy. I don't even want to like save this point for later in the episode. I kind of want to get into it right now. But Dwight Howard, like, when we watched the highlights for this game, he stood out so much.
His energy. And, I mean, even the last two games, too. I feel like there's been a reason why he's been, I think, two out of the three games, he's been the center that's back there that's ending the game with AD, you know?
Yeah.
His energy, he's willing to dive in. He really has found his role and his niche on the Lakers, and it's showing. I mean, this game, 16 points, 10 rebounds, double-double.
Yep.
Awesome. I mean, and I loved that the Lakers finally took advantage of their size against a smaller team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they should have been doing this against the Clippers from the get-go. But I think when we watched the game, the first 14 points, 12 of them were dunks.
Yeah.
Thank you. Like, we need that.
Yeah.
Like, We played old school ball, right, starting from the inside, then going out and getting those open shots eventually for our shooters.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do. We need to run that kind of basketball for our team. It's going to work with all of our length. With, you know, I think three of those dunks were putback dunks from JaVale. Or just him standing there while LeBron penetrates, the defender moves over, no one comes in to block the JaVale, or JaVale's just too tall for the guard that swings over.
Right.
Perfect. Yeah. That's what we need to do. Easy buckets, get our team going.
For sure. They almost need to have this mentality, like, just punish the opponent. Like, just, you know, don't settle for jumpers. Like, attack the paint, like, just rigorously. Because it's almost like retraining your brain in a sense. Because for so long during the Warriors run, like, everything was just live and die by the three.
Right.
And the three is a much more effective shot than taking a two, because you can score more points, like, which makes sense. But at the same time, when you have a roster constructed like the Lakers do, yeah, they have shooting, but their greatest strength isn't shooting. It's their size, and it's how dominant they can be on the inside. And that's showing itself pretty easily on the defensive end right now. But offensively, when they commit to it, it opens up the game for sure. And we saw that in this game, because there, like you said, so many times when, like, LeBron drove, or someone like KCP drove in and inevitably missed, like he often does, and then, like, Dwight's there for the putback, or JaVale's there for the putback, like, just going at the opposing team. So that was cool to see. And I think we'll talk a little bit more about Dwight at the end of this episode, because I do want to just give more of a nod to him and just what he's doing. But apart from that, were there any other players or
to me, this was AD's coming out game. Finally really showed his stuff throughout the game, not just for a quarter, not just for a half, but throughout the game his presence was felt. Like old school all-star AD that everyone loved from last year has come to play finally. I think we were so excited because he finally hit some threes. His outside shot was going, and that was the first time we really got to see it more consistent throughout the game. How many threes did he have? Like three, four?
Three.
Yeah, awesome.
Three for five.
Awesome. Great. You know, spreading the floor to let Dwight and JaVale go to work, LeBron go to work, so it's not just crowded in the paint. And it was awesome to see. He definitely was the star for this game, and I loved seeing it.
And he had some smooth moves down there too, like he wasn't just like doing his traditional like spot up shooting, like jab step shooting. Like, he was getting crafty, and it's crazy. Like, we appreciated from afar, like on House of Highlights and just like these clips on Instagram and stuff, but when you're actually watching him like on a night out basis, it's crazy to see like how someone that big can be that skilled, that quick, that good at ball handling,
that crafty,
that good at threes.
Oh,
like,
man,
yo, this guy is otherworldly.
Yeah
And I'm just glad he's donning the purple and gold now.
And same. And I'm excited because we saw this when the Clippers played Dallas. The Clippers had an issue guarding Porzingis. So it's like, when AD goes off and can shoot like that, and we're not just making him such a post player, which is the whole reason why he didn't want to play center anyway. He wants to be able to take mid-range shots, start, like, be able to drive, you know, show his versatility offensively. I think we'll definitely see a better game.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so it was a good win. It was a good way to end the week. Absolutely. The Lakers are now 2-1, a nice start to the season, and I think their next game is on Tuesday. I'm not sure who that game is against. You know who the game's against on Tuesday?
It doesn't matter, because they're gonna lose.
The Lakers are?
No, the opposing team. That's why. I don't care who they're playing.
I was like, man, Columbia changed. They're playing the Grizzlies, so yeah.
Which should be a win, and should be a dominant win.
It should.
So I love that we won. The biggest takeaway for me is Charlotte. I love that we won. We love that we won so late in the game. But I want to see that dominance from the get-go. Sure. I don't want like a team that's Charlotte that's not going to for sure make the playoffs, has no shot, be such a pest to us for three quarters, then we dominate. I want us to be able to start dominating from the second half, make adjustments. Maybe, okay, they match up well or something's going on, having a bad game. Make adjustments at the half and dominate. We saw that so many times with the Warriors. The Warriors were the third quarter team.
Yeah.
Because they made so many adjustments. So it's our coaching is really going to, I want to see how the coaches really handle adjustments at the half and how we can handle those and adjust to those, whatever sets that the opposing team is running against us defensively, offensively, and dominate the game, because we have the talent and the length to do it.
Mm-hmm. And I think you made the point when you called me when you were in Orlando. We're always going to get the opposing team's best. Like the yeah. Lakers are a game that's always going to be circled on the opposing team's calendar, mm-hmm. and they're going to get up. They're going to oftentimes play above their capabilities.
Right.
And that's just part of the territory when you're a championship contending team. Mm-hmm. That's like how the Warriors were for so long. Mm-hmm. That's why the Lakers could beat them in the regular season multiple times. Yeah. The Lakers had nowhere near as good of roster as they did, but they would get up for those games and mm-hmm. defend their home court. And that's going to be the challenge that's going to be awaiting the Lakers this season. So even a team like the Grizzlies on Tuesday night coming up, like you said, we got to come out aggressive in the first half, but especially after halftime when those adjustments are made by the coaching staff, like, just, you know, punch the other team in the nose, like, from the get-go.
Seriously.
Can't hold back. So it'll be interesting to see. So yeah, this upcoming week the Lakers have the Grizzlies on Tuesday. They have on Friday against the Mavericks, which will be a pretty sick game.
That'll be a Porzingis great game.
And Luka, and then on Sunday they have the Spurs.
Nice.
So
excited for that Luka game.
Yeah, it's gonna be
Luka
such a
is
good game.
Everything we thought Lonzo Ball would be.
Oh,
do you know that?
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking about that the other day because I watched some of the wife let me get NBA pass because it's like free for a month.
Whoa. Oh.
But then we're gonna cancel it.
I almost got excited.
So, I know. I was like, dude, come over, we can watch. But so I got to watch a little bit of that Dallas New Orleans game, and
yeah.
It was great seeing those two go at each other. And I was just thinking, like, Doncic is everything we thought Lonzo was gonna be.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Can shoot a three, handle the ball, take everyone one on one. Not the most athletic, but still solid mm-hmm. defense. Off. He's everything we thought he would be offensively.
Sure.
For sure.
Even his court vision.
Yeah.
Is solid.
We thought Lonzo's gonna be like this Magic Johnson-esque, this LeBron-esque. Yeah. Never panned out. I mean, he's still young, still has time.
Yeah.
But just seeing Doncic, his like second year now, come in and just dominate still.
So good.
He is a phenomenal player, and I'm excited for that team.
Yeah.
I definitely picked them to make the playoffs.
I think so too. I think they're going to be like that team that like creeps in towards like that seventh or eighth seed, mm-hmm. but they're really, really good.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good game to watch. So good games to look forward to for sure. So that's kind of it for this particular segment, recapping the last week and looking forward to the next week. So from here, we'll transition into kind of talking about, I want to talk about the capabilities for the starting five and what our thoughts are and who they should be once we have a full roster going. So let's get into that. All right, so let's talk potential starting five for the Lakers. This has been something that's been on my mind recently just because I know the Lakers aren't at full health yet. We're still expecting to get back Rondo, expecting to get back Kuz in the near future. And it's looking like the point guard position is really up in the air still. I know that Vogel's rolled out, I think it's Bradley, the last couple games, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. But once Rondo's back and healthy, there's been some debate on whether or not he's going to be the starting point guard and Bradley's going to slide to the bench and how that might affect the starting lineup. So I wanted to discuss this with you and see what your thoughts are on who we would want, who you would want the starting five to be. What would be most ideal once everyone is at full health again?
I definitely think if we're, like we talked about previously, if we're going with that kind of defensive mindset and wanting to be known as that defensive team, we keep Danny Green and Avery Bradley in the starting lineup because the West has too many guards that will just decimate Rondo starting. As many assists and as many plays as Rondo can make, if you let Steph get hot, if you let Harden get hot, if you let Lillard get hot, if you let Doncic go off, if you let...
Jeez.
Yeah, De'Aaron Fox go off. Mm-hmm. You let Booker go off.
Westbrook.
You let Westbrook go off. You let Donovan Mitchell go off.
Gosh, so many people.
Shall I continue?
Please don't.
Yeah, it's just going to be, you know, yeah. If you let Ja go off, if you let, you know, we faced some of these crazy good teams. I mean, eventually when we get the Clippers too, when they get PG going, when you let PG go off or Kawhi go off without these defensive players in the game, I mean, we're going to be in trouble, especially like we said, like we're definitely going to be, I feel like, more of an inside out team now with AD and with LeBron.
Yeah.
We'll still have the shooters, but we're not going to be like that Warriors team that's going to live and die by the three. And thankfully so. We saw that you can win championships without it last year with the Raptors, you know?
Yeah.
They did have some good shooting. Van Vliet had great games. Lowry would go off a little bit, which we can have with Quinn Cook, LeBron, Danny Green, even AD can go off like we just talked about. But we definitely will have that consistent post presence of banging it down low, old little old school. I'm sure the big Diesel loves that, seeing that, you know,
yeah,
running it back up to those 2001, those last time there was actual real dynasty. People calling these dynasties that don't win three times in a row dynasties. They ain't dynasties. You have to win three in a row to be a dynasty.
I love it.
So you
believe that, so for the case of Rondo, you believe that
coming off the bench,
the production that he brings on the offensive end will still pale in comparison to what you're giving away defensively?
Correct. And because we have such a great ball handler already with LeBron, and that's what he wants to do. You know, he's definitely trying to let AD star, but still handle the ball. I think Rondo coming in with that second unit is going to help, especially when LeBron is sitting. Especially when LeBron's sitting, or when it's AD sitting and it's LeBron out there, so LeBron doesn't have to handle the ball. I know I freaking talk so much trash on Rondo, our first podcast, but I still love the guy, great player. I mean, there's a reason why Kobe wanted him on his team. He's so cerebral, challenges everything, wants to be better, wants to be his best, and I love that. Like, I love that grit and grind about him.
Yeah.
So I think we'll definitely, when LeBron is the main guy out there, take some pressure off of him being the main ball handler, main person running the offense. Mm-hmm. He can just really focus on maybe going ISO one-on-one or playing off ball, getting open threes, setting screens, cuts, easy buckets for him. And same thing with AD. That's my biggest worry. When one, like a Clippers game is a perfect example. As one of the stars sits, you see production just completely drop off.
Right.
It's day and night with how much our production drops off. And so with the addition of having Rondo coming back in and Kuzma off the second, off the second unit too, it'll be great. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I agree that Rondo should be coming off the bench. And one of the main reasons for that is based off of how Frank Vogel has been staggering AD and LeBron.
Yeah.
So when, because I think it would be a waste if Rondo's coming in with the second unit and he doesn't have either AD or LeBron that he's playing with.
Right.
Because Rondo is very effective on the offensive end when he's the ball handler distributing. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not relying on him to score points, but just like how he controls the flow of the offense. And if he has either LeBron or AD with him, you know, when there's like that substitution wave that happens and at the end of the first or early of the second, like I think he can be very, very effective. And you're not wasting his talents on that second unit at all. So the start, and to your point earlier, which I agreed with, starting off solid defensively is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to get that with Rondo running the point. You're going to get that with Bradley running the point. You do give up size, and that's kind of the devil's advocate argument for starting Bradley over Rondo.
Right.
Is you're giving up a lot of size at the point guard position, so right, those bigger guards could potentially take advantage of Bradley. But I just think that he has that defensive mentality where he's going to scrap. He's going to give 100% no matter what, where I think in the end he's going to net more of a positive on the defensive floor than someone like Rondo would. Like, Rondo's such a huge liability on the defensive end, from what he's shown us last year at least, that it would be better for Bradley to start, in my opinion, as well. So with that kind of settling our stance on the point guard position, I think we're in agreement that Danny Green should be starting at the two.
Oh, hands down. Yeah. You've been killing
There's no way he should.
Love you, Danny Green, and love that you, what we talked about last time, love that you have Pristine Grapes. Shout out Pristine Grapes.
Yes.
Power Ranger.
Green Grapes.
Green Grapes in the house.
Those actually sound so good right now.
Dude. We don't have grapes. Sorry, dude. We have cuties. Sorry.
That's good.
Yeah, cuties sound bomb too. Like some cold ones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My gosh. Okay.
Dude, frozen, your grapes are like candy, dude.
They are.
Have you had the cotton candy grapes?
I was just about to say that. Dude. Is that still a thing?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Teresa just had them for the first time. Found them for before we left, and they were gone by the time we got home.
Yeah, dude. Those things are like... I was going to say hotcakes. People say that? You know what I'm saying? Like when someone's like, oh, these are selling like hotcakes.
Or did you just go to Nashville or did I go to Nashville? I forget.
I'm like 70. Taste buds are 7.
Yeah.
My sayings are 70. I'm very good.
You got them from your dad.
Probably. Yeah, because he has a lot of southern sayings.
Dude, you
and
totally
stuff.
Get them from your dad.
So true. Anyways, so our ideal starting lineup so far is Bradley at the one, Green at the two. Who do you have at three?
Bron.
Bron. All right.
I think we both agree. Like, no discussion there. Four, AD.
Yep.
No discussion there.
Yeah.
Five.
All right. Yeah. This wasn't. There was no hesitation at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Like before the first game.
Right.
And now. If I'm reading your mind correctly, as I look into your eyes, there's
in this hesitant... hot, sweaty, steamy car.
Gosh, it's so hot in here. We're so sweaty. Anyways, there's Dwight Howard's creeped in the conversation for starting.
He has over
JaVale.
He has.
I'm not saying it's for sure, but like he's legitimately. Like emerged into the conversation.
Well, he's the one who's finishing games.
Yeah.
Like, what does that say enough about himself? You know?
Yeah.
Where it's like the old, remember when we ran with LO?
Yeah.
Lamar Odom. He would come off the bench, but he'd be the one that's finishing games. It'd be him, Pau. Bynum would usually sit unless Bynum's having an amazing game. But even then, they just shift LO to this small forward position.
Right.
And I feel like with Dwight ending games now, I feel like that's almost like Frank Vogel's kind of nod to maybe if you continue down this road, you might be starting.
Right.
The effort he's giving, the putback dunks he's giving,
so much.
The blocks he's putting, like there are already so many shots. He didn't get, it's not going to show on the box score in this previous game, but how many shots he changed or the pressure he put on players to miss those shots or make it that layup just that more difficult, even if it still went in.
Yeah.
It's prevalent and it's showing and we see it every game and loving it. I'm loving Dwight. Hate his hair. It's disgusting.
Some weird
dude,
hair, man.
Oh my gosh.
Some weird hair.
Dwight, bro, shave it or something. I know you're in LA and like hippies galore and like Venice Beach and stuff, bro, but shave that or just do something different, man. Kobe Fro is better. The mini Kobe
the
Fro. Or the bald Kobe was better, dude. This is just weird, but...
Hey,
yeah.
If it's working...
Maybe it is the hair, dude.
Yeah, let it grow.
Okay.
Or keep it... Whatever you're doing, dude, just keep it the same.
Dude, just do the Metal World Peace. Remember in the playoffs when he shaved defense into his hair in Chinese in like... three different languages. It was crazy. And then he dyed his hair blonde, gold and purple.
Oh my god.
That's the year we won a chip.
Yep.
Do it, Dwight. Do
it, man. Shout out Panda Lover.
Yeah. Shout out Panda Lover. Shout out Metal World Peace. Love you, bro.
Man,
is he still playing in China?
I was just about to ask that. I don't know,
dude.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably
I can't
not.
See it.
Yeah.
What a guy. So... this kind of segues us into our third and final key of the podcast, which we want to kind of expand more on Dwight. So let's get into that. All right, so let's talk a little bit more about Dwight to close the episode here in our final key. What are the things that this guy is doing? They are mostly obvious, but there are some intangible things that he's doing that I kind of want to discuss. but I'll throw it to you first. What's standing out to you about his game over the past three games that are resulting in him entering the conversation for potentially starting for this team, which we had no, this wasn't even a remote possibility in the offseason. Like, when he got signed, people were like, I don't know, this could be a terrible signing. Like, why are we letting him back in LA? Kobe's going to freak. this guy should not be playing. But he's played so well. Yeah. So what has caught your attention for him to enter the starting lineup conversation?
Well, first off, can you pull up the stats for the last three games? Like, just click on Dwight, you know, and see, like, how much he's average. I want to see his average through the past three games and just see how he's played in each one of those games. But, I mean, he's just been playing great. Like, he has been giving his effort. I think one of the biggest things we've both talked about, and we keep going, and we keep literally beating a dead horse. Sorry, horse lovers out there.
Poor horses.
I know. Is he is finally, for the first time, truly understanding his role.
Great point.
Understanding his role, what he's supposed to do, who he's supposed to be, that he's not some offensive genius that can, you know, score 20 points night in, night out. Mm-hmm. No, he needs to get those easy buckets, those putbacks, those layups. No more hook shots, please.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. He hit one today, though. But
he hit it, though. I think it was 8 for 8.
Yeah,
in the game against Charlotte.
Yeah, 16 points, 10 rebounds, and closing the game. We've just seen the effort defensively there. He's averaged, I think, like 3-4 fouls a game, which to me, I know that's a lot, but that's, to me, effort.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want to see that. I will gladly, as long as you're not fouling out, I will gladly take those 3-4 fouls. You're supposed, like, you get 6 fouls for a reason. I'm definitely not the person that's like, oh, don't use your fouls, like, be mindful of your fouls. It's like, if you're not fouling, I'm the old school Bobby Knight, like, if you're not fouling, you're not playing hard defense.
Right.
You're not getting in their nose. You're not trying to poke the ball away, getting in their face, taking charges, going for the blocks, you know?
Yeah.
And I love seeing that foul is like 3-4 per game, getting solid rebounds. Like, he's averaging, I think, 7 to 8 rebounds a game, something like that.
7.7, so yeah, practically 8.
Yeah, he's doing amazing. And how many points is he averaging?
7.
7, solid. That's exactly what we need him to do.
Yes.
10 points, 10 rebounds a game, we're happy.
Yeah.
Perfect.
He's playing to his role. And
still can't have free throws, but it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all right. He's playing to his role. He knows exactly what's expected of him. He's expected to go out there, defend at a high level, get rebounds at a high level, get us those second chance opportunities on the boards, and bring the energy. And he is. And this game against Charlotte on Sunday night, that was the Dwight Howard game, because he produced offensively, which we're not expecting him to, but that just shows that he's still a talented player. Like, he's not someone who's washed up and he's like not a great player at all anymore. Like, he can still very much be relevant if he wanted to chase being on a subpar team and get some kind of money. Like, he could be some sort of key piece for some team, you know what I'm saying? Like, but he chose to come to the Lakers. Like, the Lakers gave him a choice. I mean, the Lakers were the ones that extended his career. Like, a lot of teams were kind of giving up on Dwight.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been given, like, this rebirth in his career, and he's living up to it and saying, like, you know, I'll do whatever it takes. Like, I'm thankful to be on this team. There's been quotes about Dwight saying, like, you know, I'm thankful that I'm given a second chance to rewrite how my career has been on the Lakers, because he didn't like how it went the first time around. So it's super, super cool to see him playing at this level. And I'll admit, like, I was skeptical of him coming on the team at first, but he's proved me wrong, and I'm thankful to be wrong, to be honest. Like, he deserves to be on this team. Not only that, he may even deserve to start. So
yeah, I agree with that. Everything. Yeah, personal fouls, 12 for the last three games. So that's 4 fouls that he's averaging a game. Love it. 2.3 blocks averaging
these
last three games.
Wow.
Love it.
Yes.
0.7 steals, 1.3 assists. Big man's getting one solid assist every game to AD or whoever. That means he's willing to share the ball, passing it out to Quinn Cook, Danny Green, whatever. Great, great, great in what he's doing. Now I'm kind of curious, what does JaVale look like? So right now, looking at JaVale's stats, averaging 4.7 per game, 3.3 rebounds per game, 0.3 assists, 0.3 steals, and 0.7 blocks.
Interesting.
Wow.
Interesting.
Big drop off for JaVale.
Yeah.
Big drop off. I'm sure, I don't think he's getting as many minutes, but wow, I was not expecting it to be that much of a difference.
Me neither. Especially the points, yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've seen a lot more like putbacks for JaVale than I have for Dwight.
Right.
But I don't know, maybe just that's just how the averages work when there's only been
three games. Yeah.
But I think the biggest difference between Dwight and JaVale is the mobility. I mean, you know, Dwight still has like those fast twitch muscles, but JaVale is just like on a different level when it comes to like his jump and just his length and his running ability. So I guess the question then becomes, for if you're thinking about starting Dwight over JaVale, do you want to give up that mobility with the first unit for the sake of having Dwight, or does he fit more into the second unit because of his hustle and his offensive rebounding, et cetera, et cetera?
I know. That's the struggle, right? I think, I mean, as much as we look at Dwight and see how well he's been playing, he is going against the second unit center.
Yeah.
For most of that game, the second unit, and that's why he might be performing better. I'm curious how he'll look with, but he is ending the game for the most part.
Yeah, that's true.
So he's still going against that first, I mean, albeit he might be a little more fatigued for starting center, but we'll see. We'll see. I'm curious where they're willing to stick him, what they're willing to do with him. How many fouls has JaVale had? Let's pull up his stats. He's had 3 personal fouls in the last 3 games. So I don't know. Is that hustle? Lack of hustle? 2 blocks, 1 steal, 1 assist, 10 rebounds? Is that just AD gobbling it up? Because yeah, he's playing most of the time with AD?
Yeah.
You think?
I don't know. I mean, I think as it pertains to like the rebounding and the defense, if you're just strictly talking about that, I would rather have Dwight in the starting lineup. But when you think about the offense and like the team as a whole, I think JaVale just fits better with the starting unit, to be honest. But it's a lot closer than I was expecting it to be, for sure.
Yeah.
And you know, I tip my cap to Dwight, because this was not the conversation earlier in before the season started this week. So we'll see if it continues. I really hope it does, because this really changes the trajectory of the Lakers season if he can keep this up.
Yeah.
Like, teams are going to have to start, it sounds weird to say, teams are going to have to start game planning for Dwight and on the second unit. Like,
yeah,
they're going to have to plan on like, okay, how do we make sure that Dwight's not getting those offensive rebounds, those putbacks, and not altering our shots like he has been for other teams. So it'll be interesting to see, but it's a sight for sore eyes for sure. And shout out to Dwight Howard, I think player of the game for the game against Charlotte.
Hands down. Shout out to D39. He's not D12 no more. D39. What's up?
D39. Such a random number.
I don't know, dude. I don't know why I picked that. 3 times 3 is 9?
I guess. Sure.
He's 3 times better than he ever was because he knows his role and he loves the 3 in the Key podcast. That's probably why.
Wow, you rattled those off so quickly. Yeah. It would have taken me days to think of one.
Dude, it's this, just all these, endorphins going, just like hyped up on life. We saw the Lakers win after playing pickup. We went on a solid like,
we did,
3-4 game run in pickup.
We did.
When I thought we were gonna lose that last game because we were dead tired.
Yeah.
And came back, dude.
That game was the equivalent of 2010 Game 7 Lakers versus Celtics.
Yeah.
So ugly.
We shouldn't have won.
Someone just had to win, and you know it just happened to be us, but. Oh gosh, I'm just glad that game ended. I don't even care that we won. I was like, let's just go home
and eat and sleep and shower and
record the pod.
Yeah.
It's a miracle we're both alive right now, like not
I'm
injured.
Not injured.
Considering that, like,
wow, alive.
I don't know, man.
Could have died playing pickup basketball.
I've had some like near death experiences playing ball with my back. For those of you who don't know, my back is just the worst. Like,
his back is 70 as well as his sayings. Ryan's back and his sayings are 70 years old, just so everyone knows.
I could bend over to pick up a plastic fork and my back could very well snap in half and I'd be out for 2 weeks. You know, it's every minute's a blessing that I'm upright. Oh gosh. Yeah, so that's about it for this third key about Dwight. So,
you want to go into ending remarks?
Ending remarks? I don't know. You lead it.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so ending remarks. You want to just kind of like preview what we're thinking about for next week? And what we hope for the Lakers. Let's do maybe some predictions for the next month, kind of like where they're gonna go, if Dwight's gonna start.
Yeah, we'll just
do that.
Here, I'll throw out some rapid fire for you.
Let's go.
Questions. The Lakers this upcoming week, they got 3 games. How many of those games did they win?
They're gonna win 3.
3? Wow. All right, I'm gonna go 2. All right, who is the starting point guard for the Lakers once Rondo returns?
Avery Bradley.
I love that. I hope it's Avery Bradley, but I'm going to say it's actually going to be Rondo.
Yeah.
I think Vogel is going to throw him out there first. The Lakers... let me see where I want to go with this. The Lakers at the end of this upcoming month... I'll phrase it this way. Their first game in the month of December, who will be the starting center? Dwight or JaVale? After a full month, sample size is in the books. Who will be the starting center for the Lakers?
Dwight.
Really?
I think Dwight's going to take it if he keeps playing like this.
Ooh, all right. All right. Mm-hmm. I am going to say JaVale. I think JaVale is still going to be starting. Mm-hmm.
Tragic Bronson.
Tragic Bronson alert.
I'm so glad he hasn't been on Shaq and the Fool lately.
That's true. That's
good job,
JaVale. So true.
Maybe that's why he's not playing hard.
He's like, I just don't want to be on Shaq.
Maybe that's the whole thing. He's like, not on Shaq and the Fool. That is my job now. Just do not be on Shaq and the Fool. Do not be the king of Shaq. That's it. That's the whole reason why he's the way he is now.
Oh, man.
I got some for you.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, because I ran out of mine. I was really reaching.
Who will be the head coach of the Lakers at the end of the season? Jason Kidd or Frank Vogel?
Oh, excellent question. Excellent question. To which I say, Frank Vogel.
Wow.
I know. I know. Did you expect that?
No.
You're like, crap.
It's tickling me.
Whoa, what's
feel
that?
About it.
Whoa.
It's like, whoa, dude. I thought you would say J-Kid for sure.
Let me give a little, like a couple of sentence reasonings. I think he's actually going to exceed expectations with this group. So much so on the defensive end. I think that the Lakers are going to perform well offensively because they have 2 superstars. But I think defensively, he's going to change the culture. And you're going to see people buy in like Dwight. And you're probably going to get another player that emerges who performs better than expected. Maybe even someone like Rondo, who isn't so much of a liability anymore. Like, he's going to actually be showing some effort.
Yeah, maybe a little scheme for him to, you know, kind of cover up for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I actually, after watching these 3 games, I'm actually going to agree with you. Frank Vogel.
Yeah, Vogel.
Let's go, Frank. Good job, Frank.
Frankie
Poo. Frankenweiner.
Whoa, okay. Don't disrespect him like that. He seems like such a nice guy. I gotta say,
he seems like the dad. He's like the dad bod, like the dad that you see in sneakers with jeans and a tucked in shirt that picks his kid up from school. And you're like, hey, Frank, how's your day? How's it going? How's work? Oh, it's going well. Or like, hey, Frank, great job barbecuing those burgers, you know? He's like the guy behind the bus.
With the apron on.
Yeah. World's best barbecue or something.
Kiss the
chef. Yeah. Kiss the chef. That's what Frank looks like to me.
He seems like he'd be a great family man.
Yeah, he probably is a great family man.
Yeah.
I mean, he's bringing this Lakers family together.
Oh, way to tie it in.
Yeah.
I also feel like he has a great lawn. I feel like he does.
Dude, I bet you he's a great barbecuer too.
For sure. If we ever get invited to his house, Frank, feel free to invite us, by the way. If we ever get invited, we'll have to see whether or not these are true.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Next one for you.
Sure.
Never mind, I forget it. I just had it. Then we went off on our little Frank tangent.
It's all good.
Dang it, Frank! Dang it, Frank! What'd you do to me? You made me forget.
Let's just end it here. Let's end it here.
No, I had a really good one, dude. I forgot what it was.
All right. Well, you better remember it soon. People are waiting right now.
Does the Laker win MVP for the league?
Oh. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I'm going to go with no. And the reason I say no is I think the voters are unkind to superstars with another superstar on their team. I think they kind of like see that as like an unfair advantage, I guess, or like it takes away from how genuine those stats are, because teams are like having to plan for two superstars. It's not like a team only has to plan for one superstar, like Giannis, and Giannis is still going off regularly in the regular season.
So true.
So for that reason, I say no. Yeah.
I honestly think, LeBron will be in the conversation, but again, I don't think he'll win. I think he might be like second or third. I think it's going to be Harden Deer again.
Let me ask you this. Who do you think would have the better chance at winning MVP between LeBron and AD this season?
You're an evil man. evil man.
Is this a lose-lose? Nah.
Nah. I think it's going to be... I want to say AD, but everyone's going to look at LeBron coming out, like, if he plays like he played on that Utah game,
yeah,
and he has one of those games every three games, he's still gonna be in the conversation
for sure.
10 assists, 10 boards, and or almost 10 boards and 30 points,
yeah,
or somewhat 30 points. Yeah, 28,
he had like 30, no, he had like 32 20s. Points or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, he had 32,
yeah,
so like high 20s, 28 to 30 to 32,
yeah,
like that's all-star level,
yeah,
mentality right there. That is MVP level to me.
Right.
Triple doubles, you know?
Right.
And they're going to be on winning on like a defensively grinded game. I mean, people are going to remember that. I think people will take advantage, especially because like I feel like AD isn't playing that center position anymore. So he's like great defensively still, but the blocks are going to be less.
Yeah.
The steals are going to be a little less. So I think that's where people still see LeBron as one of the greatest.
Yeah. He'll be up there in voting for sure. He just does so much on the offensive end. Like every night he's a threat for a triple double.
Yeah.
And he has off nights. Like even the game against the Clippers, like I don't remember.
That was
the,
an off night,
like,
for sure.
Yeah, like I don't remember his exact stat line, but that was still considered by everyone to be an off game for LeBron. And his stat line was, I'm going to pull it up right now.
Like 16, 8, and 8.
His stat line was 18 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists. He was 2 assists shy from a triple-double, and even you and I were saying, like, yeah, that was an off game for LeBron.
Yeah.
But the guy's a walking triple-double threat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's going to be in the conversation for sure.
For sure. Okay, Kobe or LeBron?
Don't do this.
Better Laker.
You got to be kidding me. It's Kobe.
Yeah, okay, good.
I thought you were just going, like, career overall.
No, I just want
better Laker? Come on now.
I just wanted to confirm a few things, you know?
Yeah. Sounds like you're meditating.
What kind of impact do you think Kuzma will have coming back?
Oh, my goodness.
Because he's like projected like the next 3 weeks?
I don't know. It's a great, we'll have to
I feel like it's up. It's consistently changing. And that's why we're just kind of like up in the air with where he's going to be. But
yeah. Yeah, I don't know. There was a report that he's quote ramping things up.
What does that even mean?
Does that mean he is going up ramps in a wheelchair now? Or does that mean he's cleared for full court contact? We don't know.
No one knows.
This is a great mystery.
Okay, best shooter on the Lakers.
Danny Green.
You think he's going to have the best shooting three-point shooter?
Yes.
So best three-point percentage on the Lakers at the end of the season?
Yes. But let me tell you who my number two is. I think this could be a little bit of a shock.
Rondo?
Troy Daniels.
I know. He's been gliding it up every little while.
I like him. I like him a lot.
Sucks defensively.
Yeah, but that's just a shooter. But he's good. He's very good.
Yeah, when he's I mean, we saw a little bit of it last season, right? When we picked him up.
We didn't have him last season.
Oh, we didn't?
No, no. Wait.
We saw him preseason.
Yes.
Excuse me.
He was one of our first
signings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had no idea who he was. I'll admit that right now.
Yeah.
Because he's on the Suns.
Oh, poor Suns. I mean, not poor Suns. They're doing well.
They just beat the Clippers.
130, 123, something like that.
Good job, Suns.
Heck yeah.
Way to defeat the bad guys.
Yeah, good job. Just don't beat the Lakers, but beat the Clippers.
Yeah. Gosh, if we lose to the Suns, what a terrible night that'll be.
I don't want to talk about
it. As a Clipper fan, you just have to think that they're just miserable. They were on top of the world, and then, losing to the Suns is one of those losses where it just, evaporates any kind of, positive momentum that you had.
Wait, aren't the Suns 3-0?
Are they?
Better record than the Clippers or the Lakers right now.
You gotta be kidding me. Are they 3-0?
I think they are, because they beat the Kings, they beat the Clippers, and then didn't they have another game, or did they lose that game? Or are they 2-1, tied with the Lakers and the Clippers in the Pacific Division?
Let me check that out for you right now. Did they play tonight? Did they play on Sunday?
I think they played yesterday because they beat the Clippers yesterday. I don't think they played today. I'm confused. I don't know.
They're 2-1.
2-1. Wow. Tied with the Lakers and the Clippers.
Yes.
Just look at that.
That's so weird.
You know, I'm disappointed in the Kings. I thought the Kings would come out really good. De'Aaron Fox looked so great.
Same.
The rookie from last year. Yeah, they're 0-3. And the rookie from last year, what's his name? He's really good. They're a power forward.
Bagley?
Yeah, Bagley.
He's out for a while. He just
got injured. But he was playing the first two games.
Yeah. Or maybe his first. I don't know. Yeah, first game or first two, but he broke his thumb, I think, or something like that.
Oh, shoot.
So he's out, multiple weeks. Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, that does stink.
I think they'll bounce back.
Early in the season, making crazy predictions.
Yeah.
It's part of the fun.
True, true. All right, any further closing remarks?
No, I think we're good.
Nice. So we'll wrap it here. Those were our three keys of the episode. Thanks for listening, guys. This is a Three in the Key podcast. It's Rai Chai, MD, signing off. Make sure to subscribe. You guys can follow us on, I think it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and a bunch of other podcast vendors that I didn't even know existed, but we're out there. So
for sure. We have the IG up as well.
Yes, we do.
At Three in the Key Podcast.
I think it's at Three in the Key Pod.
Three in the Key Pod, excuse me.
Yeah, Three in the Key Pod.
Comment, subscribe, or follow. Leave us a message. Talk to us. Talk back to us. Talk trash to us. We love it.
We do.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Yeah. All right, guys. Have a good week. Later.